Well, morning, folks. I want to say hi to everyone here at Church in the Marketplace and to those who are joining us online, wherever you are and whatever your circumstances. I pray that God will bless you as you listen in with us today. Each year we try to have a balance in what we're discovering in God's Word here on a Sunday morning. Earlier this year we spent a considerable time just exploring the first part of Paul's letter to the Romans. In the last few weeks, we've added some science and philosophy to our Bible exploration as we looked at some of life's big questions. Where do we come from? What's our purpose? Where are we going to? Today, I want to start a series I'm calling Relationships, the Rhythm of Life. I was thinking of just calling it Relationships, You Make Me Crazy. But, well, I didn't do that. So, yes, we're going to explore relationships and as we do that, you can't stare at the person next to you, especially if they're your partner. Just think about them in your mind as we explore our relationships together. Will you turn to James chapter 3? We're going to start our look at relationships there because James connects our relationships with the idea of wisdom. Of course, you don't need me to tell you that our relationships are a key area of our lives. We need our lives to be healthy. Financially, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, vocationally, physically, and relationally. But what's the connection with wisdom? The story is told of a pastor who went to visit an elderly woman. She'd lost her husband a number of years previously. As they sat there in her living room, it was around lunchtime and he was hungry. She had a big bowl of peanuts, so as they talked, he ate one. And of course, you can't just eat one. And he started eating more and more. When they'd finished talking, he realized he'd eaten the entire bowl of peanuts. He felt a bit embarrassed and he said to this elderly woman, "Look, I'm really sorry. I've eaten all your peanuts." And she said, "Don't worry. I can't chew them after I've sucked the chocolate off." He said, "I felt a little foolish." We all do foolish things from time to time. Usually unintentionally, sometimes intentionally. And it's true, we'd have a lot fewer problems if we were less foolish and more wise. Wisdom doesn't get rid of our problems, but wisdom definitely minimizes our problems. Scripture tells us that our relationships is one important area where we can be wiser. So let's pray as we think about our relationships. Lord, we are all involved in relationships, and you tell us that we are relational people. You relate to us and you tell us that you want the way you relate to us to be a model for the way that we relate to other people. So, Lord, as we look at our relationships and we look at the connection with wisdom, we pray that you would help us to understand and to become more wise in the way we live our relationships. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The classic passage on wisdom in our relationships is in the book of James, chapter 3, verses 13 to 18. Do you want to be counted wise, to build a reputation for wisdom? Here's what you do. Live well, live wisely, live humbly. Real wisdom, God's wisdom, begins with a holy life and is characterized by getting along with others. It is gentle and reasonable, overflowing with mercy and blessings. You can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoy its results only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other, treating each other with dignity and with honor. This little section of James teaches us a lot about relationships, and the first thing we learn is that wisdom is a way of relating. It has to do with what we do, not what we think. A lot of people think that wisdom is intelligence, that wisdom is education. Well, no. The world is full of educated but foolish people. The Bible says that wisdom shows up primarily in our relationships. We may have all kinds of knowledge. We may have all kinds of education. So many degrees they call you Dr. Celsius. But we can still be foolish. We can have all kinds of brilliance and be technically smart, but wisdom shows up in our relationships. That's why you can find a brilliant scientist whose life is a mess. They may be a smart but not a wise person. Wisdom always has to do with relationships, and it shows up in how we treat other people. In other words, it's as much about our life as our lips. It's as much about what we do as about what we say. It's not about our diploma, it's about our disposition. So from James this morning, here's six things that wise people never do in relationships. Here's his foundations for healthy relationships. First, James says, the wisdom that comes from heaven is pure. What does James mean by this word pure? It means uncorrupted, clean, unpolluted, clear, untainted. The word we'd use today is integrity. He's saying that the foundation of all good relationships is integrity. Why is integrity listed first? Because wisdom starts in the heart, not in the head. The reason integrity is listed first is all relationships are built on trust. No trust, no relationship. And trust is built on truth. If we don't have truth, we don't have trust. If we don't have trust, we don't have a relationship. If a man's lying to his wife all the time, he may have an arrangement, but he doesn't have a relationship. He may have a commitment, but he doesn't have a relationship. Because relationships are built on truth, and truth is the foundation of trust. Honesty is the bedrock of all relationships. Dr. Leonard Keeler, you mightn't recognize the name, but he invented the lie detector. And during his lifetime, he tested over 25,000 people on the lie detector. He wrote a book about it. His conclusion, we all lie. No surprise there. He said human beings are fundamentally and by nature dishonest. We lie to God, we lie to other people, we lie to ourselves all the time. In fact, we lie to ourselves more than anybody else. We have the amazing ability to tell ourselves things that aren't true and convince ourselves that they are. The Bible's way of saying it is the heart is deceitful. That means we have an amazing ability to con ourselves. We think things are right when they're not, and we think things are not right when they are. So James says we've got to start with integrity. Ephesians 4:25 says you must stop telling lies. Tell each other the truth, because we all belong to each other in the same body. If we want our relationships to get better, here's the first mark of wisdom. If we want to be wise in our relationships, we won't compromise our integrity. We won't violate our conscience. We won't compromise our convictions. We won't live a double life. I won't lie to you. I'll tell you the truth. Because trust is built on truth. No truth, no trust. No trust, no relationship. Proverbs 2:7 says, God grants a treasure of good sense to the godly. He is their shield, protecting those who walk with integrity. So if we want to be wise in our relationships, we won't compromise our integrity. Second thing James tells us is wisdom is peace-loving. In other words, wise people are peacemakers, not troublemakers. Wise people don't carry a chip on their shoulder. Wise people aren't always looking for a fight. Fools love to fight. Just go on the internet, it's full of them. Just look up a few blogs. Foolish people love to fight. They love to argue, they love to mix it up with people. But it's not smart. It's foolish. The Bible says wisdom is peace-loving. It's not always trying to provoke anger. So here's the second thing. If we want to be wise in our relationships, we won't antagonize. I don't push your hot buttons intentionally. I don't egg you on. The fact is, if we've been around anybody for any length of time, we can probably figure out what irritates them. We know what ticks them off. When we get into an argument and they say something that hurts you or slights you in any way, then we pull out the big gun. We know which is their hot button to push. Works every time. James says we're not helping the relationship. In fact, we're hurting it. If we're wise, we don't antagonize. Even when you've already pushed my hot button I'm going to be the wiser person and I'm not going to push back. Proverbs 20 verse 3 says, any fool can start arguments. The wise thing is to stay out of them. During this series, we're going to have some fun. We're going to laugh at ourselves because we all do things in our relationships that are really counterproductive. They're hurtful, they're harmful, and they don't get us what we want out of our relationships. Very often, they get us the exact opposite behavior. But when we lack wisdom, we use them anyway. Here's a couple today. Things that antagonize, and we'd be wiser not to use them in our relationships. One is comparing. Folks, we're going to antagonize somebody when we start comparing them to somebody else. It always makes me mad. Why can't you be like so-and-so? Or you're just like your mother. You can guess the predictable response to that one. You're just like your mother. You're just like your dad. 2 Corinthians 10:12 says, anybody who compares is a fool. It's not wise. Never compare your wife, your husband, your kids, your yard, your boss, or anybody else, because everybody's unique. Comparing just antagonizes. Condemning antagonizes. Don't do it. When we start laying on the guilt in a relationship, we start trying to make people feel guilty for what they've done, we start trying to make them feel ashamed, all we're going to do is get the exact opposite of what we expect. It doesn't work. It's foolish. When we decide to be somebody else's conscience, guess who they get angry at? So don't try to be somebody else's God. Don't try to be somebody else's conscience. You should, you must, you ought, you need to, you always, you never. Anytime we use those words, not so wise. Comparing and condemning. And number three, contradicting always makes people mad. Have you ever watched a spouse correct every detail of a story while their partner's telling it? It's irritating. William James, the famous psychologist, said, wisdom is the art of knowing what to overlook. And there's some stuff we just need to overlook and not try to make a big deal of it, not contradicting. Proverbs 14:29 says, a wise man controls his temper. He knows that anger causes mistakes. Have you ever said or done anything silly out of anger? Yes. Because when we get angry, our intelligence goes out the window. When we get angry, we say and do things that are actually self-defeating. The wise man, it says, controls his temper. He knows that anger causes mistakes. So if I'm wise, I won't compromise my integrity and I don't antagonize. The third thing the Bible says is that wisdom is gentle at all times. It's courteous. The Bible says in the Living Bible. The NIV translates it, considerate. Philippians 4:5 says, let everyone see that you are considerate in most of the things you do. Doesn't say that. It says, let everybody see that you are considerate in all you do. Now, I don't like that word all, so I looked it up in the original Greek. Guess what it means? It means all. You mean we have to be considerate when people are inconsiderate to us? Yes. When people are rude to us, we don't get to be rude back? Not if we're wise. No, I'm not allowed to call your names. No, I'm not allowed to be rude to you. No, I'm not allowed to get even. I'm always to be considerate. Wise people are considerate even when people are blasting away at them. Why? Because being considerate is the antidote to the two most common mistakes that we make in relationships. We react to what people say and we ignore how people feel. We pay too much attention to their words and not enough attention to their emotions. Often, the words don't really matter. People say stuff when they're angry they don't mean. They use words they didn't even intend to use. They exaggerate things. But we need to look behind the words and look at the emotion because that's what it is. People don't always say what they mean, but they always feel what they feel. So if we're wise in a relationship, we stop focusing on what our kids or our boyfriend or our husband or our wife or our boss says that just ticks us off. And we start looking behind the words. What's the emotion they're feeling? And why are they feeling that emotion? That's what wise people do. Being considerate means simply mindful of the feelings of others. Not the words, but the feelings. In Romans 15:12, Paul says we must be considerate of the doubts and the fears of others. The other mistake we make is we invalidate any feelings that we don't feel ourselves. If I don't feel what you feel, then your feeling, it's irrational, it's illogical, it makes no sense, and you shouldn't feel it, and we just dismiss it. And whenever we invalidate other people's feelings because we don't feel it, we minimize that person. Somebody says, I'm afraid, and we say, well, don't be. That's minimizing. If you don't get anything else I say today, get this. Feelings are neither right nor wrong. They're just there. They're not facts, so we don't need to argue. They're just feelings. And if I feel something, I shouldn't have to defend it. And if you feel something, you shouldn't have to defend it. Somebody should just go, I hear you. Maybe other people feel that way too. When what we do is try to convince people that their feelings are wrong, we are always going to lose. If I want to be wise, I won't minimize your feelings. I don't compromise my integrity, I don't antagonize you, and I don't minimize your feelings. Wisdom acknowledges your feelings and doesn't diminish them. Proverbs 15:4 says, kind words bring life, but cruel words crush your spirit. Have you ever come home and played the game, my day was worse than your day, with someone else? Instead of sympathizing, empathizing, being considerate, you say, you think you had problems. Let me tell you what a real problem is. And you start telling your problems. Is that actually helping the relationship? The Bible says wisdom is gentle, wisdom is considerate. Is it possible you both had a tough day? Yes. Is it possible that you could be considerate of their tough day without having to top it? Yes. So if we want to be wise, we need to stop minimizing other people's feelings. We need to let our girlfriend, our boyfriend, our spouse, our parents, our children, our friend, whoever, we need to let them feel what they feel without minimizing it. We need to let them feel tired when they're tired and not try to talk them out of it. We need to let them feel angry or alone or scared when they feel that way. Friends offer kind words, not remedies. Fourth thing, wisdom is willing to yield to others. It's open to reason. It allows discussion. The word euphathes, it's the only time in the whole Bible this word is used. It's a great word for wisdom in relationships. It means we're not stubborn, we're not defensive. How do we know if we have this kind of quality in our lives? One of the main ways we know is how we listen. The wiser we are, the better a listener we'll be. Do you tend to finish people's sentences for them? They're saying something and we want to move the conversation along, so we'll say the end of the sentence. Not so wise, really, because we're not letting them say what they want to say and I may not hear what I need to hear. So if we're wise, we realise it's foolish to cut people off. It's foolish to not let people have their say. It's foolish to jump to conclusions. So instead of that, we want to be open to reason. We want to be willing to listen. We want to be willing to learn. So how do we know if we're really a reasonable person? One of the ways that we know is, do we listen to others? Can people we disagree with reason with us? Can we talk through it? That's one of the ways we know that we're a reasonable person. Some people have this attitude, don't confuse me with the facts. My mind's made up. When I want your opinion, I'll give it to you. That's not being wise in our relationships. Now let me admit, it's tough sometimes to hear the suggestions of other people. Like the new pastor who said to his church the first Sunday he was preaching, he said, I really want to hear your honest suggestions afterwards. So after the message, he was talking to one of the men of the church and he said, okay, give me your honest suggestions. And the guy said, honestly, pastor, that sermon was a shocker. And the pastor looked at him and said, trying to be reasonable, okay, what was bad about it? He really wanted to hear. The man said there were three things. He said, first, you read it. Second, you read it poorly. And third, it wasn't worth reading in the first place. The next guy that came by, the pastor, tried to encourage him. He said, "Don't worry about old Jim. He just repeats what everybody else says. So don't worry about that at all." The tough thing about listening to other people and hearing their suggestions is we've got to put ourselves out there. And it can hurt sometimes. But if we're going to be wise, we won't criticize. A wise person can learn from anybody. Let me tell you something that God does in our lives that's humbling when it comes to listening to other people's suggestions. That there are going to be people in our lives, the most irritating people in our lives, the "you drive me crazy" kind of people, and sometimes they're going to have a good suggestion. That person in your family, they're wrong about everything else, but they're going to be right about something. That person in your office, that person at your school, it's the worst thing in the world when the very person that's driving you crazy has a good suggestion for you. So let me ask you, can you learn from them? Can you learn from anybody? Proverbs 18:15 says, "Intelligent people are always open to new ideas. In fact, they look for them." Anywhere and everywhere, we look for these new ideas. What if people have stupid ideas? We do the same thing with their stupid idea that we do with our stupid ideas. If it's a good idea, we listen to it and we learn. If it's a stupid idea, then we ignore it and we forget it. We stop wasting our life trying to prove a stupid idea right or wrong. Just move on to the next good idea. If I'm wise, I'm open to suggestions and I won't criticize your suggestions. Fifth thing, the Bible says wisdom is full of mercy and good deeds. If we're going to be wise, we're going to maximize mercy. Full of mercy and good deeds, it says. In other words, it's wise to show grace to people when they mess up, when they blow it, when they sin, when they fumble, when they have faults, when they fail. It's wise to show mercy. It's wise to cut people slack when they mess up. Anytime I start judging you, I'm being foolish. Anytime I'm being merciful, I'm being more like God, and that's wise. It's wise to give people the benefit of the doubt. It's wise to show grace, to show mercy, to be forgiving, to cut people some slack. God cuts me slack all the time, so I'd better cut it to somebody else. So here's the fifth mark of wisdom in a relationship. If I want to be wise to my kids, my boyfriend, my girlfriend, my husband, my wife, if we want to be wise, we won't emphasize mistakes. Wise people don't rub it in. Wise people rub it out. Wise people are merciful. Stories told about a high school kid came home with a bad report card and his dad blew a gasket. The next day the kid went back to school and his friend at school said, "What did your dad say?" And he said, "My dad got historical." The other kid said, "Don't you mean hysterical?" And the first boy said, "No, he got historical. He told me everything I'd ever done wrong." Do we do that? Do we let it all pile up, all dam up, and when somebody hits us at the wrong spot, we let it all out? Proverbs 17:9 says, "Love forgets mistakes. Nagging about them parts the best of friends." So wisdom is full of mercy. And sixthly, the Bible says that wisdom is impartial and always sincere. That the two words in the Greek are the word adiakritos and anipokritos. They're very similar words, impartial and sincere. You might know in Greek theatre, one actor would often play many parts. He'd come out wearing a mask and he'd say his part. And then he'd go backstage, behind the stage, and get another mask and come back out and he'd play somebody else's part. And then he'd go back behind the stage and he'd get another mask and he'd come back out. He's playing many roles and wearing many masks. The word in Greek for that person, he was called a hypokritos. We get the word hypocrite from it. It means he wears a mask. He's always acting a different role. The words here are the exact opposite. Impartial and sincere. It means we're genuine. We're without hypocrisy. We're the real deal. The word we'd use today is the word authentic. So here's the sixth key. If we want to be wise in our relationships, we won't disguise our intentions. We won't wear a mask. We won't fake it. We won't pretend. We won't try to be somebody that we're not. I won't lie to you. I won't cheat you. I won't trick you. I won't take advantage of you. I won't deliberately mislead you. The point is this: wise people are authentic. They're the real deal. They aren't phonies. They're genuine. They're authentic. Proverbs 10:18 says, "The lips of the liar conceal hostility, and whoever spreads accusations is a fool." So let's review. How wise are we in our relationships? Do we ever compromise our integrity? That's not wise. Do we antagonize? Not wise. Do we minimize feelings? Do we criticize suggestions? Do we emphasize mistakes? Do we disguise our intentions? Friends, we can all learn some godly wisdom here, or we're going to go through our entire life making the same relational mistakes over and over and over. And then we're not going to get what we want out of that relationship. An intimate, satisfying, soul-satisfying relationship, the kind that God intended us to have. How do we get the wisdom to stop making foolish mistakes in relationships? We can get intelligence. We can get facts. We can get information. We can get technical skills from study and going to school and uni. But we get wisdom from knowing God and doing what God says to do, because God is the source of all wisdom. Psalm 11:10 reminds us, respect for the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We want wisdom in our relationships. We've got to start with a relationship with God. The Bible says in Colossians 2, Jesus is the key that opens all the hidden treasures of God's wisdom and knowledge. We've got to get to know Jesus. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word that you want us to be wise, not foolish, in our relationships. I pray that even today everyone here will make a commitment to strengthen our good relationships and heal our bad ones. But Lord, today we start with us. Jesus, help me please to not compromise my integrity. Help me not to antagonize, not to minimize people's feelings, not to criticize people's suggestions or emphasize their mistakes. Help me not to disguise who I really am. Help me to be authentic and real and genuine. God, I need your wisdom, and I want to know you, Jesus Christ, and I want to do what you tell me to do. So if you've never invited Jesus into your life, just say, Jesus Christ, come into my heart and life right now. Take control of my life. I want to learn to trust you and love you. In your name I pray. Amen.